our series. I think you did that last summer too, right? Did the last night last summer, and he's speaking to us in our family theme on what being raised in a Christian family has done for him, how it benefits him. And I think we can all see the blessing it's been to us, his Christian raising, and looking to forward to hearing his perspective on that. So we will give him the floor here in just a moment. Let me make sure I haven't forgotten anything. I don't think I have. Let's take a moment and pray, and then Mike will. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. It's a day you've given us of life and a day that's had opportunities to serve. And now we come together as your people wanting to encourage one another and to learn of you. And we pray you'll be with Michael as he leads us this evening in this study, that we will be reminded and encouraged of your gospel and the way it works in families, the way it can be a blessing. We pray your blessings on those that are in need physically, especially we think of little Ethan tonight down in Texas, that you'll bless the medicine that's being given, that it will work and they won't have to go any further in an invasive way to heal him. Please take care of him and be with his family as they have to be concerned right now. Many others that need your blessing, we pray you'll grant it and give us opportunities to serve those folks as you see fit. Again, thank you for each person here tonight. Each of us needs a special blessing from you, and we ask you'll grant it. We know everything good comes from you. And so we commit this time to you now and pray that you will bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. It's great to be with you all this evening. That's really hot, man. A couple things before we begin. First of all, I want to note to the college students, this is the last night we're in here. Next Wednesday night, we'll be upstairs studying at the book of Ephesians. So I hope each of you will be back for that. We'd love to have you studying that great book. The second thing is, tonight, it's very relaxed. I hope to have comments back from you guys. I want to see a raise of hands first of how many people were raised in a Christian home. If you consider yourself raised in a Christian home, okay, brothers and sisters, look around. Okay, if we want to evangelize to people, where should it start? In our homes. Think about how many people are impacted by having a Christian home. So the topic tonight, the subject, is very, very important. It's paramount. It's one of the main things. I'm not a parent, but when I become a parent, I know that will be my main focus. Not getting them to college, not, you know, whatever. It's hopefully getting them to heaven. And I pray that that's been your aim as well. And so we'll look at that. Tonight, I have a couple different sections of our time tonight. I want to begin by answering the question of how I benefited from a Christian home. I love how Mark put it on the slide and how he pitched it to me. It's how I benefit from a Christian home. See, in all reality, you never leave home. It's how you benefit, present tense. Your parents are always there for you until the day they pass away. They're there as a source of strength for you. And I know they are still to me. So anything I say today, it's not that, you know, it's in the past and I don't learn from my parents anymore. It's an ongoing thing. But at the beginning here, I want to answer that question. And I had two college students that I asked them how they benefited from being raised in a Christian home. And we'll hear their responses. I want to open it up to discussion, how you all benefited from being raised in a Christian home. So be thinking about that, answers, or perhaps how you administered that to your kids, how you raised them in a Christian home. We'd love to hear your insights on that. Again, I'm not a parent, so I don't know a lot of these things, and I would love to hear your insight in that. And then toward the end, we'll look at what the Bible says, some key passages about what it means to raise Christian children and to be good family members. So we'll go ahead and begin. Luke Wolf, he is one of our college students that's worshipped with us for a few years now. He's going to answer the question, how I benefited from being raised in a Christian home.
Growing up in a Christian home, an environment was nice because I knew I always had someone to talk to about questions I had about the Bible, or that I would get a biblical answer when I had some problem or issue that I was dealing with. On the flip side, growing up in a Christian home and going to a Christian school didn't give me as many opportunities when I was younger to prepare myself for what a lot of my peers would say about me being a Christ follower and my faith. It was great to grow up in a Christian home, though, but the best part was when I started to part ways with the ideas of just believing everything I heard and really started to develop the faith as my own. And that's not to say necessarily that I didn't agree with what I was taught, but just making that relationship with Christ more personal was just great. And my parents and those in the church around me just helped me to make that faith my own, and it was a really great experience for me.
Thank you, Luke. Now we're going to hear from Madeline, someone you all know very well, what it meant for her to be raised in a Christian home.
Okay, so all of you know that I have been coming here since I was probably just a few weeks old. So I've known you all for a long time, and this is kind of the family that I've always known. I've never really known anything different. So now I'll read what I sent to Michael. But it says, as I grew up, I started to feel like being raised in a Christian home was a disadvantage. I never had to go through an addiction or a major tragedy that would lead me to Christ. You hear about testimony stories of all these people, and you're like, wow, God changed their life. And I never really had that experience. So I felt like my testimony was maybe boring or not as important as someone else's. So I, thankfully, I've come to realize how wrong I was, and OVU is a big part of that. Like Luke said, they really help you come into your faith and realize what that means for your life and for the life of those around you. I said, God doesn't need a horrible upbringing to show his grace. I was raised by amazing, loving, and godly parents. Their guidance in God's love and mercy spared me from the tragedy and the bad choices that could have led me down a dark path. Now I realize that I can use what God blessed me with for good. I have a solid foundation and a strong support system. So today I make it my mission to help other, and then I said church kids, realize that God not only saves people from drowning, but he also chooses to protect some people from ever having to fall into the water.
I really love what she said there at the end. How, and I think a lot of us would fall into that category. We never really had serious problems, but yet we were raised in a Christian home, and we did face difficulties, but yet we were always in a place where it was comfortable, and Christ was preached. For me, my dad was a minister, and my mom met my dad at a Christian school. They were both raised in Christian families, and so God and believing in Christ have always been things that have been at the center of what my family has taught. But there were some key things that were a part of my family that I especially loved. The biggest thing for me was the unity in my family. I hope each of you shared dinners together. That was probably the focal point of the day. We got home from school, my dad got home from work, and we sat down together. No matter if we had sports or if we had a ton of homework, we set aside time, we sat down together, and we ate a meal. And it wasn't that we were sitting around a table and we were all on our phones or computers and we were all focused on our own business. We didn't bring our homework to the table. We sat down and we stopped. Everything stopped and we talked. And there was open lines of communication there. And that was so key to know that my parents were there for me. And anytime I needed to discuss something with them, they were there for me. I think that's something that's really lost, is just communicating well with people and talking with people. It's all over social media. You see commercials where people are texting people in the same household. Instead of yelling at each other, just texting, hey, can you come down? And everything has been gone to our computer and devices and things. Another thing is a really strong and positive attitude toward church services. I don't think I can ever remember my parents saying, oh man, guys, we got to get ready. We really don't want to go, but we've got to go up and go to services. We have to get ready. We have to go to service. It was no. It's, we need to get ready. We need to go to services. We need to go to worship God. It was a great attitude. There was no question as to whether or not we were going to church. Because that's what Christians did. That's what God's people did. And not only was it the Sunday morning, the Sunday night, and the Wednesday, it was the service projects, the things that weren't fun. And then it was the things that were fun. Because they wanted to show me that Christian service, it was hard work, but you can have a great time doing it. Fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. And that was a great thing that my parents really influenced me in. Another thing was church camp. I know if you asked the group up here, I'd probably say 75% of them say they benefited from church camp. And I know for me personally, I didn't want to go. A lot of kids don't want to go at first. But then after they go once, they fall in love with church camp, and it's a place in which they can really grow closer to God, and really take that next step as they're growing and maturing. And that's a big thing. A willingness to serve. My family, they were always willing to serve, not just because my dad was the preacher. You know, he could have easily said, well, I clocked in for the week, I clocked out, I did my job, I preached my sermon, but yet it was so much more than that. He strived to be a man of God. He still does. And my mother's the same way. It was not a negative attitude toward like it was for services. It was a willingness to serve God in the home. And then a big thing that might be lost, and I really see this in a lot of my peers, see the negative side of this. My parents made decisions to help my sister's spiritual life and my spiritual life make them better. There was a point when I was, after my freshman year of high school, in which we had the opportunity to move. And for them, it would have been uncomfortable. For them, the move didn't really make a lot of sense. We were in a place where we were doing a lot of good. My dad was really helping the church there. But an opportunity came up where me and my sister would be able to be a part of a good youth group. We'd be able to have a youth minister. We'd be able to have a strong foundational group to really build on. And my parents, not completely, but a big part of that decision was made for my spiritual life and my sister's. So my parents made decisions that would benefit, not them, in many ways it was a pain for them, but it benefited my sister and my spiritual life. And that is something that is very important, something that I really benefited from. Because honestly, where we were, I was in a bad place. I was not living the way I should. I was caught in the wrong crowd. And it was at that time, that pivotal time at the beginning of high school, where people really start doing the bad things. You know, middle school, they mess around and they may make mistakes, but they're not like big time mistakes usually. When you're getting later into high school, things like drugs and serious alcohol problems and some big issues were on the horizon, were on my horizon. It's where I was going. And my parents made the decision to move. And because of that, that really turned me around. I was able to pick better friends. I was in a youth group that supported me. And I was at a church family that supported me. So those are some of the things that my parents did and my family was a part of that really encouraged me and helped me and things I benefited from. And so this is the point where I want to open it up to you guys. What are some things that either you benefited from when you were growing up and some of the things maybe you did for your kids growing up? So I'll open it up to you guys. What are some of those things that were not said? Yes, sir.
We had an open door policy.
Okay.
Our kids knew that their friends were always welcome at our house.
Mm.
And so we had this policy, I suppose, or whatever it was, it was just a decision on our part as parents to allow our kids the freedom to know that anybody they brought into the house would be treated as they were.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In our home. Not only our own kids, but the other kids that
Want to be a part of, yeah. Yeah, and another big thing about that is the support. You're not distancing yourself from your children. Your children's friends are welcome, and that is a warm and loving home is something you can't put a price tag on. So that's definitely a big one. A warm and loving home. I definitely agree with that. What else? Yes, ma'am.
My mama was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
Today, you're around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the children don't benefit from mama and family.
Mm-hmm.
Fact, it's really detrimental to their spiritual and emotional health. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying my mom wouldn't have to pay. In fact, you might say we were rather poor.
Mm-hmm.
We talked, but we knew that Dad did not have much money, and we never asked for things that were beyond his capabilities and getting them for us. But you know, we all became Christians. Dad was an elder, and set an example of all that did for us. To this day, I have three children. One's an elder of the church. The second one's a deacon here at Double Sox Street.
Yep.
And I'm saying we didn't have the best clothes or the best shoes. But we were happy and we were together and we glorified God in that respect.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with a lot of what you said. Our world is changing a lot. So it's not always feasible, but it is definitely a beneficial option when the mother is able to stay at home, because I know that's something I benefited from. Like you said, I didn't always have the nicest things, but I was always taken care of. And now, I'm not saying that if mothers want to work, that's not a bad thing at all. But the thing with that is if you work and you don't make time for your children, that's where it's a problem. And I think that's where a lot of the issues are, is time isn't made for the children. Work becomes a bigger priority than raising the kids. And that's where the issue comes in. Because you can still, both parents can still work and be raised in a great Christian home. But you're right, the time isn't always there when you're working. And so that's a key thing to consider. Yes, Tim.
Sacrifice all this time and go around and help all these people. But I talked to while I was really young how important it is to be selfless and how important acts of service are. And I think that's really helped shape my mindset for today.
Yeah, exactly. He was talking about how his dad was a preacher and he had to go make visits and do a number of things on Saturdays, and he would get discouraged and he wouldn't want to do those things. Why would he have to help all those people? But yet he realizes the benefits of that. I definitely agree with you on that one. Spencer.
I can definitely still see that. I remember what inevitably happens to everybody when they have kids is at some point they're saying something to kids and they realize they're talking in their parents' voice. And what an incredible advantage that is when your parents are Christians.
Yes.
And that's the voice you're talking to when you're talking to your kids. And then when you see your kids begin to raise their kids, Mm-hmm. And they begin to experience the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's a heritage that comes from a Christian home. Because inevitably, whether you have good parents or bad parents or whatever, their voice will be in your head when you are raising your children.
Yes. I can only imagine. I can already start hearing my or having my thoughts hearing over and over again, like a tape recorder. Wow, they don't have those anymore. Like a recording, my parents, you notice who laughs at that. My parents, what they say and how they would react. And I know if I get in a tough situation, I can play over. I know exactly what they would say to this. But it is a wonderful thing. And a good thing, maybe speak to your parents for a second that have empty nests. Or adult children. For me, one of the biggest blessings I ever have right now in my life currently is when I get to go home and see my parents. And I get to spend time with them, and they don't preach to me. They just ask me how things are going, and they show a genuine concern for the people in my life and the things I've got going on. So if you're a parent like that, I want to thank you for what you do to encourage your children. But I just want you to think about that, how big of a blessing it is to them when you do have that opportunity. And young people, we have to appreciate the times we have. I guess it's been about a year and a half now. My grandfather passed away very suddenly. And it just made me realize that, and we've all had loss, makes you realize how short life is and how we don't always know the opportunities we're going to have. So that's a big thing. What other things about being raised in a Christian home? Sarah?
I wouldn't say that I was necessarily raised in a Christian home because I didn't have a dad that went to church and my mom didn't go all the time and then pretty much stopped going. But I still say that I was raised a Christian. And I think that was mostly by the parents of my friends here at this church. There was a tremendous sacrifice that they did to make sure I was picked up for church and made sure I had a way back home. And then I was always surrounded by those families. So if I had dinner with them, there was prayer at the table. And I was seeing what it was like to be in a Christian home, even if it wasn't my Christian home. So I think that, you know, especially, and that's where, like, church community comes in, because not all of us have Christian parents that are, you know, the preacher at the church or a deacon. But I still consider myself raised Christian, because I think the parents of my friends had a huge benefit in my life in that way, and they kind of put in the role of the Christian parents when I was around them. So
exactly. Yeah, it's definitely so much more than just a two-man job. Let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. When you talk about parenting, that's probably in families in general. This is probably one of the first passages you go to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I think this supports what Sarah said. We'll be there in just a moment. Does someone else ever have a hand over here as well? There was someone behind Sarah, I believe. Comment?
I'll have one more thing.
Yes, Joe. And then we'll get over here, Jim.
I just wanted to say that I was raised in the church from the time I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really notice until later on in life, when I became older, that Dad was involved in the church as I was little. But on Sundays, you would hear him grumble. You know, there was just warning signs that I really didn't understand that. But I always had Mom in the background in my ear about God, my Bible stories at night when she'd lay down with me. And so it was Mom and a lot of people here. Because I fell away from the church for a long time. And the prayers, you know.
Mm-hmm. You can never underestimate prayer.
You cannot. And my mother was the stronghold of the family for being a Christian. Yes, she was.
If you think of great Christian young leaders in the Bible, the first one you think of is Timothy. And who is mentioned for nurturing and encouraging Timothy in the faith?
Lois and Eunice.
Lois and Eunice. And really, we don't know much about his father other than the fact that he was a Greek. And, I mean, he could have been like a Cornelius Greek, like a God-fearing person. But we don't have any really indication that he was a religious man. We know that when Paul wanted Timothy to go back to his roots, he went back to his mother and grandmother. And so even if you're in a home that isn't completely Christian, it may just be one parent. There's still an opportunity there to make a difference. There's still an opportunity to influence them and to pass that on that Christian faith. Jim, and then Tracy.
But this summer series has pointed out to the Christian, we do have a manual for raising children, governing our homes. Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real positive that a lot of people have overlooked. There's a lot said in the Bible about attitude of fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, children, and so forth. And we've looked at a lot of that this summer. Mm-hmm. It's been a good series.
Yep, and we have a help group, so to speak. We have a community of people that want to see you raise your child in a godly way. Like Sarah and Joe talked about, they had a group of Christians that encouraged them and helped show them what it was like to be a follower of Christ. So that's very, very important as well. Tracy. Yeah, and if you have the ability, you need to do your best to say it's not a choice. I mean, every situation is different, but anytime you have the window of opportunity, yeah, we might not, you're not going to go. That's right. And that's the thing about our relationship with Christ. If we realize that all that He has done for us, then it would be easy to get up on Sunday morning. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, though. Let's read there a few moments. Starting in verse 4. Again, one of the key passages as far as families go. And I think this speaks to the community aspect, too. This is not just a two-man job. That's a figure of speech. I'm not saying two men. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of on your house and on your gates. I'm pretty sure I've told this story before. And Micah was actually there for it. We were at a door knocking campaign in Georgetown, South Carolina. You were at that one, right? Maybe. Okay, he might have been there for that. But we were in a suburban neighborhood in Georgetown. And if you know anything about Georgetown, South Carolina, it's on the beach. It's a nice place. And we were in a nice neighborhood down there. And, you know, 2,000 square foot houses, very nice. Anyways, we cut to this door. And me and my door knocking partner, and he just bumps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, look at that." And they have this passage written on three taped together note cards written in pen. And that got me thinking, they didn't find some fancy sign at the mall. They didn't order something offline. It wasn't about the aesthetic, you know, beauty of a painting or something for them to put this on their door. It was something that meant to them so much that they just took out some note cards, taped them together, and wrote it in pen. That's pretty amazing. But this is something that we should have at the front of our mind. When we think of our families, one passage comes to mind out of Joshua chapter 24. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In conjunction with that, I think of this passage and how the loving the Lord our God is something that goes with us everywhere we go. When we go to work, when we go to church, when we go to the grocery store with our kids, whatever the case is, loving the Lord our God and our service and relationship with God should be right there at the forefront. And if we want to raise Christian children, it has to be consistent. A genuineness has to be there. If your kids see you on Sunday morning and they see this God-fearing person, this person who knows how to worship God correctly, you know how to sing in four-part harmony, and you know how to stand up when they tell you to stand up, you know how to bow your head when they tell you to bow your head, but on Monday afternoon when you get home from work, you're just cursing everybody, you're short with your wife, you're angry all the time, things like that, and you're just not really all about Christ the way that you should, your kids will pick up on that. That'll probably be one of the biggest things they focus on, is your inconsistency. And I know that's something that I'm, when I think about kids and raising a family, is being as consistent as possible. And that's the way we should be in our Christian walk as it is. We cannot be Christians in name only. We have to be genuine. That's one of the key traits that Timothy was noted for, was his genuineness, how real he was. How his love for God was something he took with him wherever he went. And that's something that will be important. Another thing that I want us to mention, can somebody quote for me Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6?
Train up a child in the way he should get them when he's old, he'll not depart from
it. I knew someone would know it in this audience. Talk about parenting. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. I think the key thing in that, and the key thing that ties what Luke and Madeline said together, is being raised in a Christian home is about building a foundation. Building a strong foundation that is on Christian principles. I'm thinking of the image in Psalm chapter 1, how one who meditates on the law day and night, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, he is like a tree that's planted by streams of water. And you think of a tree and how strong they are, how strong the tree is, but then you look at the roots underneath, they're just as big. The foundation is so important to a tree. If a tree had a small foundation, it would be blown over. But with a strong foundation, it can endure the storms of life. It can endure the tough times. And that's what it's saying there in Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I also think of the wise man. What did the wise man build his house on? The rock. Does that mean that the house will never fall if it's on the rock? No. Just because it's on a good foundation does not mean it will never fall. There are other circumstances. A tree could fall on it and it could crash through the middle. So there are instances in which a good foundation is, even though you did your job as a parent, there is the opportunity for that child to do whatever they want. But the foundation is the first thing, the most important thing, the beginning. And that's what being raised in a Christian home is about. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly it. But I love the way you said, if you give him an inch. And that's where, if we're focusing on God, focusing on the right things, we won't have to ever have to worry about that. It's when we give in to temptation, our foundation can be corroded, or we can let the cares of life blow us away. But I just think that's, because there are so many parents that I hear, and you may think I'm stupid for saying this, but I really do hear a lot of parents say this. They're discouraged because they raise their kids in a Christian home, and they just ask, where did I go wrong? What did I do to make my child do this? Why are they going off there? And I think that from this passage, it's not a do this and it will they will turn out exactly like this. God didn't create us that way either. We are God's children. And do you think God ever said, why do they keep doing this? What did I do? It's free choice. It's free will. So even though the foundation may be strong, I say this to say, keep trying with them. Because if that foundation is there, they'll come back to it. Yes, ma'am.
You're talking about building your house and the foundation. You know, as a homeowner, you have to do upkeep on the They have neglected because you know, we can get leaks and termites and all kinds of things can happen. And I have siblings raised in the same house I was and did the same thing. But they didn't care for their houses.
Mm.
And it was built on a fabulous foundation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's very, very important, and the foundation is so important. You cannot put a value on the foundation. But remember, even though you give a good foundation, it doesn't mean that they will not choose to neglect it, like you said. Yes, Terry, do you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say it still comes back to the soil in each individual. Mm-hmm. I know of one family through the years, two of the sons are elders.
Mm-hmm.
So, same teaching, same family environment, but different results.
Yep. It's up to the person, the individual.
And it's work. You have to be looking at it, like in the soil. The farmer can't just plant the seed and expect to get a bumper crop every year when they're around.
Mm-hmm.
Taters show up, all kinds of things show up.
Exactly. And in the same way, us young people still benefit from having Christian parents that are looking out for us. In the same way that we have that benefit, it's also the job of the parents to still parent, to still be watching after their kids to the best of their ability. Now, even though they may go off on their own way, you still have a responsibility to do your best to reach out to them. And so, kids never stop being your kids. And parents never stop being your parents, as we understand. Yes, ma'am.
My parents have been our moving crew. We've moved around quite a bit, and they've always been our moving crew. My dad's a student, so anything that's not done, the houses that we move into, or something that I want done, he does it. And they've moved us twice here already. But they're funny. They say, you need to get where you're going, because your moving crew's getting old. But... And I said, we will certainly try our best, but we can't do everything. We have different skill sets.
Yes.
My answer to her was yes, because that's part of what we do. We help each other as a family still.
Exactly.
So that's something, like you said, you're there for each other always, even things like that.
Yeah. Yes. And then again, you know, for example, us being raised in Christian homes, we see that and we know how that feels. And we learn from people like you guys who have already raised Christian families. And that's really what I hope you guys have gained from this as well tonight, is listening to all the things they've said, the key things of what it takes to raise a Christian family. And we pass that on down and it keeps going. And it's something that doesn't stop. The principles of Christ, the teachings of God, never stop. They keep going. And that's something that is passed down. Let's go down to verse of chapter 6, verse 20. I mentioned at the very beginning a show of hands for people who are raised in Christian homes. And I mentioned something about evangelism. If you think about it, having a family and having kids is one of the best ways to evangelize to new people. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. There are many times in Scripture when this specific story is compared to the teachings of Christ, the gospel. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature children of wrath. We were enslaved to sin. We were slaves in Egypt. We were caught in our own desires. And just like God reached down and took Israel out of Egypt, took the Hebrews out of Egypt, he took us out of the land of sin. He delivered us. And so the New Testament parallel to this is, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of Jesus and his death and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross and all these things that he told us to do? What is the meaning of those things? You give your son the gospel. You give your kid the gospel message. And that's one of the best things to do. That is the best thing you can ever give to your children. That is the best thing I could ever give to my future children, is giving them the gospel. One big thing, as we draw to a close, that is mentioned about families and about what it means to raise good kids. The biggest thing that my parents gave me that showed they cared for me was their time. I don't think they missed a single one of my football games. They missed some of my basketball games only because there were like 20 or 30 of them every season. But they were always there for me. When I looked up in the stands, I didn't see them down on their phones or talking on the phone, writing in some planner, trying to figure out their business plans, trying to figure out their job. They were attentive. They were paying attention. When we were sitting at dinner, they weren't on their phone. They weren't answering the call every time the phone rang. They were there. They put their time and they invested their time in me, and I know they cared. So you see, we spend time on things we care about. I want you to think about how you spend your time, how I spend my time. I don't do the best job of time management. I put off homework to the very last minute. Writing a paper tonight that's due tomorrow. Things like that. But we spend our time on things we care about. And it's a great indicator. So tonight I want us to evaluate how we spend our time. Think about how much time we devote to our relationship with God. Do we devote very much time, if at all, any time to growing closer in our relationship with God? Think about how you spend your time. Think about that in relation to your family, but more importantly, think about that in relation to your relationship with God. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to step out. Take that first step, become a Christian, become immersed in water, become baptized into Christ so you can share the blessings of Christ. And from there, you can go forward as a Christian. So if you're not a Christian, think about that. There are so many people here that would love to study with you, to pray with you, and help you in your walk, beginning your walk with God. But if you are a Christian, though, and you haven't really been spending your time the way that you should, you haven't told that person that you care about them, you haven't invested time in them, and you haven't necessarily invested your time in relation to your relationship with God, you haven't spent your time wisely, you've been making bad decisions, whatever it is, if you need prayers, come tonight. If you need to become a Christian, come tonight. And if we can help you in any way, please come while together we stand and sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom.